The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Well, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program, everybody. We are coming at you from the Twin Cities, one of the two Twin Cities, here in Super Bowl 52 week alongside. Let's say hello to him now. Are we going to put his music in? Are we, since we're remote, we're going to do it? Here he is, everybody. You know him from the Jacksonville Jaguars, from the UCLA Bruins, the Oakland Raiders. He's the radio voice of the Los Angeles Rams. It's our old pal, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Straight out of Oakland. That's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguars. Addicted to the end zone. Now he's on with Damaschek. Yeah, that's his new home. So call him Maurice. We all call him MJD. MJD. MJD.
Hello, Maurice. How are you? Welcome to the Twin Cities.
You know, Check, this isn't the first time I've been here. I actually came earlier this season.
Oh, yeah, you came up with the Rams, yep. And the Vikes whipped them. That's rear-view mirror stuff. We thought one of those two teams might get here.
I thought they had a shot. And then I actually came the year before with the Rams as well in the preseason. So I've been here a couple times.
Yeah, and how does well, let's get – first of all, we have Alex Smith coming up in a little bit. We're going to try to figure out in my ongoing bet with Handsome Hank and Matt Money Smith, I say 10 quarterbacks. I say 10 teams, Maurice.
Yes.
Will change quarterbacks between – well, the measure is difficult to figure out. I say it was the start of 2017 to the start of 2018 – and Alex Smith is a major chip in that equation. Alex Smith is not going to be with the Chiefs. Now, he might be with your team. And let's start there before we jump in. Everybody's talking about the Patriots and the Eagles and who's going to win that. Everybody's doing that breakdown. I don't need to do that. Maybe we'll dip our toes into those waters a little bit here. But I want to talk about the other stuff going on as well here, what's going on in the Twin Cities. By the way, isn't it weird? Who decided that – hey, look, there's some people here in this place, Minneapolis, but we're in St. Paul. How come nobody ever decided, well, let's just make it one big city? Nope, let's be the Twin Cities. That's a weird thing, isn't it?
I mean, you got to – they're trying to accommodate everyone.
But why? Why would that,
that's what I was
gonna
say.
Whole thing?
In life, you can't do that. You can't make everyone happy. That's what I've come to realize. That's why I'm a Jags fan. No disrespect to everyone else out there, you know, but it is what it is. And then that's why I'm a Rams fan. You know, no disrespect to everyone else out there, and that's why I'm a Raiders fan.
That really, see, you're the kind of person that allows Minneapolis and St. Paul to exist because you think it's okay to root for the Jags and the Rams and the Raiders, and I'm here to tell you it's, you know, it's beneath you, but all right.
No, it is. I feel like, you know, if you're getting compensated by those organizations at one point in your life, you should.
Let's start here. I'll ask him, but first I ask you, Jacksonville Jaguars, Alex Smith. How say you?
I think it'd be a great fit. And, you know, I'm going to go on board saying this, and I know it's going to be out there, but I feel like if Alex Smith is a quarterback, the Jags may go 16-0 next year.
16-0. How much of an upgrade do you think Alex Smith is from Blake
Bortles?
Well,
the biggest thing with Alex Smith is he doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah. And if you watched the only game they lost was the AFC Championship game that they didn't turn the ball over. Every other game they were like – I was like 9-0 or 10-0 at that point. So, if you have a guy that can take care of the football, and you got to remember they're going to get Allen Robinson back. Mm-hmm. They're going to get D.D. Westbrook will be healthier than what he was this year. He's playing coming off of a core surgery. Depending on who they do, maybe Marquise Lee they pay and they let Hearns go, or maybe they let Lee go and they pay Hearns, or they keep Hearns. But I think he'll have enough weapons on the outside that he didn't have in Kansas City. As well as them probably going to go draft a tight end or pick up a tight end as well.
You know, that is right. The Jags, although this is the time of year where everybody who just took a devastating postseason loss is already now within the building, and then to the fans are like, oh, we have nothing to worry about. We'll be back. Don't worry. But the future's bright, Minnesota Vikings fans, L.A. Rams fans, Jacksonville Jags fans, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and beyond. But the reality, the stark reality is, and by the way, the no jive policy does extend to here
as
in,
it should.
In the Hilton. We're in an executive, what do you call this room?
Boardroom.
MVP.
It's called Boardroom 2.
Boardroom 2 is where we're coming at you from.
Pretty swanky.
In downtown Minneapolis. And by the way,
where are the hipsters? They would love this.
I know.
This would be very hipsterish.
You know what we need, though, Maurice? We need to hit the streets and mix with the people, the good people of the Twin Cities.
The one thing about these streets, it's cold out there.
You don't like it.
These streets are cold.
It's nice. Doesn't it feel good?
No.
I'm in heaven with it. I think it really – you know, listen.
You know, you're from Pittsburgh. But actually, you all are from the East Coast. I was in Pittsburgh with my boys, and it was 0 degrees outside. There's no way that any human being should want to live in that.
Now, listen, live in it for the you know, since I have been in L.A., it took me about 5 years to realize this, but there's some great rationalization going on with the vast majority of Americans in the continental U.S., where there are all these, like I always say, about these rationalizations you need to live in a place that is frigid 9 months out of the year, which is, you know, half the country probably. You have to conjure these things like, I could never live in L.A. Everybody's a phony out there. Like, everybody's a phony. The entire city. Second biggest city in America. Everybody's a phony out there.
I agree with that. I do. I think everybody in L.A. is trying to get it's like the crab effect. With the, you know, have you seen put crabs in a box or a bucket? Mm-hmm. And they try to climb up, and they're pulling each other's down to get up. That's L.A. That's no question.
Oh, stop! But that's really that, as opposed to anything anywhere else. Everybody's. Let me tell you something. 94% of the population is jerk. You know, everybody's a jerk. L.A. is much different.
I'd rather be with 94% of the population being jerks than to be 75 degrees outside every day than to live with the great people in Minneapolis, the great people of Minnesota, and it'd be -6 with the wind chill of -40 or something. Like, I'm okay with that.
Here's rationalization number two you hear from people who live in the cold. I couldn't live where it's warm every day because I would never get any work done. I would just be outside all the time. I bet you would when the bill comes for rent or the mortgage. Well, I bet you would get a job.
That's the key. Like that's why it's so the rent is so high there. If it was like the rent in Nebraska, yeah, you wouldn't be doing anything. You'd be like, oh, hey, whatever. But the rent's so high in L.A. that you have to go out and work. And then most people work outside anyways, right, in L.A. So I don't know. Just coming up here, I've been up here a couple times. It's funny, my cousin who comes to every Super Bowl with me, he had some issues. He's like, I don't know if I can go this year. And I'm like, why? What's going on? Like, what's wrong? Like, what? You don't have the money? What's the deal? He goes, no, it has nothing to do with the money. He's like, I just looked at the weather report. It's negative. I don't want to go to that. So there you have it. Like,
Listen. For a finite stretch, I think it's terrific. It's like a pseudo vacation to come and feel this chilly air. I really do enjoy it, and the people so far I enjoy even more. You would think that as they're portrayed in movies and beyond, the people of Minnesota all lovely so far.
Oh, great people! Yeah. First of all, you have to have fun out here. You have to enjoy this. And I think we're going to walk around here the next...
Heavy beers. We're going to eat some encased meats.
Oh, yeah. They got a Fogo de Chao down there.
We're not going to Fogo de Chao. We could go to that in L.A. Why would we go that to...
It's right down the street. I mean,
know. You go to a nice local joint.
I'm not a big local fan because they eat... I just don't know how they cook their meat.
What do you think?
I'm like a McDonald's kind of guy. Like, number one is always number one everywhere I go. I have
You're one of those
stomach.
Guys? I don't
yeah,
like that.
I have a real sensitive stomach, if you don't remember.
I know.
My stomach is very sensitive.
Well, that's how they cook their meat. So you're one of those people, so if you were in Paris, you would go to Cheesecake Factory?
No question. I went to Hawaii. Great story. Then we got to get back to talking football and Alex Smith. But I went to Hawaii with my wife. Fred Taylor just made the Pro Bowl, and he flew us all out, which was it was awesome. And so we were hanging out with everyone, having a good time. And
what a thing! Fred Taylor flew you and your wife out.
Yeah, Fred has been awesome. And
oh,
so,
nice.
She wanted to go to the top of Waikiki, right? And it's this fancy restaurant, and it spins 360 degrees. You can see all of Waikiki. So we get up there, and I'm like, I'll get this seafood pasta. You know, can't mess that up.
No, right? On an island. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's perfect.
It's their wheelhouse.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You have to. They brought out and the seafood pasta. Now, people, just hold down because this is where it gets crazy. So it was like a $60 meal. So I was like, oh, so this must be like a big bowl type of thing, you know? They brought out three raviolis. They brought out three whatever vegetables it was and three shrimp. And that was their seafood pasta for $60. And I looked at the guy and I was like, I can't eat this. He goes, what's wrong? I was like, I just can't see myself paying $60 for something that is worth like $3. And then he goes, well, you're paying for the view. I go, the view's not that good. It's dark outside. Like, like it's not, well, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
what
kind of on you for going to the restaurant at
so
night.
No, though. So I let my wife finish eating. She enjoyed it. Then I just went downstairs and got Popeyes. Perfectly fine with me.
So the guy took the ravioli, raviolis?
Yeah, he took it back.
All right.
And didn't charge me for it.
I like the principle that I can't begin because this wouldn't satiate, so why even
Yeah, there's no reason for me to even dive into that.
That's a bold move.
So back to Alex Smith.
All right.
Back to Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith, what he would be able to bring, one is he's a guy who – and I think they still keep Blake Bortles. I think you bring him in to compete.
Well, that's the point. As we marry this up with the AFC title game to visit that sorrowful occasion in your heart – what would Alex Smith do that Blake Bortles didn't do in that game?
Well, I think one, there were some passes that Blake missed. There was like a couple passes behind wide receivers he threw. But
I guess, yeah.
I think
fair.
Alex Smith is more accurate with the ball, more consistently accurate with the ball. I think he's been in these situations before, right, with the Niners as well as and I think Alex Smith is a guy that needs a great defense. When the Niners had their great defense, Alex Smith was able to take him all the way there. Right, he took him to the NFC Championship game, and then the next year he got knocked out, and they were rolling. And then Colin Kaepernick took him with that same defense and that same game plan that the Jaguars have. He took him to the Super Bowl. So I think Blake. To be honest, I believe Blake can play. It's just if he gets hot, like he did in the playoffs, oh, you can make a run. You can beat anybody. But if he's cold, you just don't know. I think Alex Smith is more consistent.
Don't you think that? Bortles was a little bit I don't want to make it, you know, there are a couple of plays. That's what you do for the entire offseason, if not for the next 2 decades, if you're a fan and maybe a player, is those games, those playoff games, when you're that close to a Super Bowl, you obsess over every missed play, every little thing. Everybody talked about the PIs, the back-to-back, the head-to-head on Gronk, and then the Bouye play after that. We did a deep dive on all that stuff with Willie McGinnis, by the way, last week. Go back and find that podcast. He was really, really great on that stuff. But the one to me is, why didn't Leonard Fournette, Alex, I mean, it seems to me that Blake Bortles dropped a dime on that deep ball
yeah,
up the left sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Leonard Fournette, is he just not accustomed to playing receiver? I mean, if he sticks his hands out,
I think the ball was a little inside. You know, the play that really got me was, and I hate it because certain plays, when it's in the ref's hands, certain plays they let go and certain they don't. The Miles Jack fumble, where he strips him and he gets up and he starts running. There's no one there. He's going to score. But they blew him down. They blew the whistle as if he was down. You have to let that play go. And that's the only thing that if I was going to complain about, it'd be that play. Because I felt like if he would have scored on that play, it would have been 27-0. And I felt like the Jags, they'd have had a 3-touchdown lead or a 3-score lead at that point. And they'd have had, it would have been a bigger chance for them.
I think I'm with you. And I do legitimately feel this way, and laugh if you want. When I'm watching a game in real time, I see when the ball – I track the ball better than I think some people do. As soon as that ball came out, I was like, a ball's loose. That's Jack's ball. I could see in real time, Jack has that ball there. And
he doesn't get touched.
But it is asking a lot. The ref – The closest official to it, and he's standing right over it.
So, Jack, he didn't see the ball.
He doesn't know that the ball's loose until Jack rolls over. He's like, oh, he has the ball.
Right.
The whistle's already blown.
And so
there's nothing you could do there.
Those are the things. I think that is the one thing that hurt me more than anything was like, that was the one time. We knew that they had to score on defense to win the game. That's all. If the Jags score on defense, they'll win. And so that was the one chance they had a chance to score.
Oh, it would have been 27-10. The game would have been definitely over.
Yeah, it was over. Right, and so that's one of the things. But again, you know, they had a chance. They couldn't score. They couldn't get out of their ends, and they couldn't move the ball late in the game. That defense for the Patriots stepped up. And then really in the two-minute mode, Blake threw a great ball. It was just a great play by Stephon Gilmore to go up and knock it down. So,
do you marvel? Do you come away from that marveling at Tom Brady, or do you feel like the Jags let one get away?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think early on they did exactly what they were supposed to do, but then they got real complacent towards the end, right? They started playing not to lose instead of playing to win the game, and the Patriots did the total opposite, where they were playing to win the game, and they were throwing the ball over the yard. I mean, Amendola stepped up and made some big catches.
They got desperate, that's for sure. They
don't throw the ball down. Yeah, they don't throw the ball down the field, and they were throwing bombs down the field, right? So, I mean, it's one of those deals where, yeah, I feel like Tom is – obviously, he's the greatest of all time. Let's put that out there. But you got a lot of defensive pass on the drive right before the half. You got three penalties that put you in the scoring position, right? So you got to limit those. And then really at the end of the day, what hurt me more than anything, the game was over. I was fine. Like, I was cool. Then I went in the Jags locker room, started talking to the guys, and guys were really – like, you could see guys were hurt, right? And then that made me emotional because I was like, shoot, like – these are dudes that I played with, like Mercedes and Paul Posluszny and all these guys, and then Miles Jack, who I've known for a long time, and Telvin Smith and Yannick Ngakoue, all these guys that we either had the same agent or I knew them. When you start to see those guys, it was like, man.
Yeah, I feel bad for the long-tenured guys. I was happy to see your pal Mercedes catch that early touchdown.
Paul Posluszny, the first thing he takes goes 2 minutes away. And then, you know, to give you a little insight, I was going to get like a day contract to sign just so I can be on the roster and be inactive.
Is that right?
No. They were joking around about doing it. I was like, if they do it, I'm all in.
What a week that could have been for Maurice Jones-Drew had your Jaguars been here. What a week it would have been for me had the Pittsburgh Steelers been here. Note to those Steelers fans, I caught up at media night with one James Harrison.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we talked.
Was he cool?
Well, listen. I wasn't going to give an inch, and neither was he. So we just held our ground, and, you know, we just agreed to disagree. That's the bottom line. You can find all that stuff, though, at NFL.com/podcasts. Right, MVP? MVP's too bored. She got over there and is at the water cooler.
No, someone knocked on the door.
It's too much. It's too much for you to listen to the show. Who's that? Who was it?
Someone who had no business.
Was it Alex Smith? He could have come in and we could have figured it all out right now before I catch up with
him. I love Alex Smith.
It was not Alex Smith.
Okay.
You know what? Me and Alex Smith, I'm going to give you all the insight. We have the same financial advisor.
Oh.
He has a lot more money than I do.
I was just going to ask.
Way more money than I do because he has houses all over the place, all over the world. You ask him, it's like, so how many houses around the world do you have? And he'll tell you. He's awesome. Alex is a great dude.
I'm gonna ask
also
him that.
When you talk to Alex,
MVP, let's ask him how many houses he has.
And then also ask him, you know, he still believes in high school that his high school team could have beat mine, which would it, because it was him and Reggie Bush. And I was like, dude, we had 12 guys go to the pros off my high school team. Like, there's no way. But he still, you can ask him about that as well. But
who was your QB?
Matt Gutierrez. He played, went to Michigan, got hurt, ended up playing behind Tom for a couple years in New England, then played in Kansas City as well. We also had T.J. Ward. We also had Demetrius Williams. We had Kevin Simon, who played – he's a scout now. He's a – I think he may be like a VP of front office guy in the Falcons organization.
I'll take Alex Smith and Reggie Bush.
Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Now, so
– so disrespectful.
So you go in the locker room. Those guys are all devastated. I hear you on that. I mean, giving up a I said it – in the fourth quarter that the greatest –
I
got
to tell you, though, after that, I go with Willie, and we go to the Patriots locker room, and I'm so messed up now because at first I was cool because I know a bunch of dudes on the Patriots like Matt Slater, James White. James White lived with me for a while. We trained together. Hmm. Matt Slater, we were same year at college. So I wanted to go congratulate them, but I was so caught up in the emotions at the point that I couldn't even walk past the door. I know Tom Brady. Guess what? Tom Brady's uncle was my principal in high school. I know Tom, but I couldn't go in there because the way I saw how my Jaguars felt, I was like, it's bigger than this, Maurice.
Good for you.
I said,
you got
to have principle. Like, it's principle. Because I'd have went in there, and I just went in there talking trash to them. That's what I would end up doing. And then I would, and then they would have kicked me out. I'd have been talking about.
I love you talking stuff as they're celebrating their title.
Yeah,
game.
I'd have been saying everything. So,
I was, I said in the moment, in the fourth quarter, when Lambeau made that kick, I thought, well,
it was over.
That's it. I mean, they're up 10 in the fourth quarter. Tom Brady was able to rally. I said that, his greatest rally, and I know Falcons fans don't like to hear this, 28-3, remarkable and everything else. But, the Falcons kind of gave that one away a little bit. To me, it was rallying against the Seahawks in Super Bowl 49. That defense, that mighty defense, and he came back to beat them. I said, if he does this against the Jags here, down 10, even better, and so he did.
Well, the one thing, when you look at the Jags defense, they have one issue, and it's really not even a – because you have Jalen and you have Bouye out there, the one thing that – and if you watch teams, if you put speed on Bouye, he doesn't – he has an issue with guys that are really fast, a big issue. And so when I heard that they were going to put him on Cooks – I was like, that's going to be an issue if Tom can find him. And those were the pass interference penalties.
They flip that in the second half and put Ramsey
on him? Well, they ended up doing it, but they went playing a lot of zone in the second half. They stopped playing man because, Gronk wasn't out there, so they felt like they could just play zone and rally up and tackle. And Tom, that's the one thing against Tom. Like, you want to play man and force him to make those tight, contested throws. That 3rd and 18 was a big one where they played cover 3, and he was able to throw the ball right over the middle of the field, So, there were some things there that obviously everyone you go back, hindsight's 2020, but I thought the game plan for the Jags was perfect.
What do you think?
You got to Tom, you had coverage.
I agree, but here's the thing that's hard to reconcile at a time when people have now moved the argument about is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback. Now it's not just that he's the greatest football player; it's does he compare with Michael Jordan as the greatest team sport athlete of, I don't know, let's say our lives of the last 40
years. I wouldn't call him
an
athlete. I would say he's the greatest sports person.
Well, that's right, and because I go back the Jordan Brady, it's like an accomplishments and everything else. I'll actually take Brady if that's what we're measuring, because as I always say, Michael Jordan got lucky that he retired for those 2 years, and when it just so happened that the Rockets were getting to the finals, because
right.
I think Akeem would have eaten up their three-headed Bulls monster. I think they would have dashed them, and that would have put a dent into Jordan's legacy. Anyway, the paradox is, yes, Brady is the greatest of all time, and yet he's not as good as Aaron Rodgers is.
No,
Aaron Rodgers is definitely a better quarterback than he is.
He has better physical attributes. I think that, at the end of the day, it's about winning. And what they've done in New England, and I got a chance to meet Mr. Kraft and sit down and speak with him last 2 weeks ago. And
nice fella.
Great. Oh, great guy. I mean, just genuine, appreciative. Like, he knows this is hard, what they're doing, but – He was like, when I first hired Bill Belichick, he was like, I need certain resources. If I can get these resources, I will be competitive. And he's done that. And guess what? When you have an owner that's willing to do that to win, hey, it happens. And you luck up and you get a guy in the sixth round that has the drive to be the best. Right, those things happen,
it's Kraft, and
yeah,
it's Belichick.
But the other thing about Brady is what people fail to realize: he's not even the highest paid quarterback in the league. See, that's what helps them out so much, right? Because he's willing to say, "I'll take less so that we can win more." Matthew Stafford's not going to do that, right? Drew Brees is not going to do that. Aaron Rodgers sure is not going to do that. So you have a situation where you have a quarterback that makes so much money off the field, that he can take a back, I don't want to say a pay cut, or he's not making $30 million a year like he should be. He's making around 15.
He gets his money, though. I don't even mean from endorsements, right? Doesn't it? Brady
He must get, like, big bonuses or something like that.
However they
do
that.
However
they
figure it
out. They know how to work that math. But either, I'd say
– But think about it, though. Like, you're still able to go out and spend in free agency.
I don't think Peyton was doing that.
No,
I'm pretty
Peyton,
sure Peyton wasn't
no, Peyton
taking
wasn't,
a,
no.
a dime less.
No, not at all. And so – you have a guy who's willing to do those things to win with a coach that's willing to do anything to win, with the owner who's willing to give you whatever you want to win. And so that those three, they figured out a way to do it in these, what, 18 years? 10 Super Bowl appearances or
not? What is it? 8 Super Bowls, I think.
Yeah, this is the 8th Super Bowl. That's crazy.
I think Kraft has 9. Yeah, I think he owned
He has one. He has one with Bledsoe. But for Tom to, and I know Pittsburgh has six trophies.
I'm
and,
sad. Believe me, as a Steelers fan, I don't like
this. Well, that's what all the Steelers fans are telling us as Jaguars fans. Like, go beat the Patriots. We don't want them to get the 6th one. And I get it. I think the Niners have 5. Right.
Yep. Cowboys have 5.
But that's over the whole span of a franchise.
This is 15 years.
This is literally in. This is one guy.
I know.
This is, and that's what makes him. That's what makes to me the greatest of all time. And you have to respect it. Now, granted, if I played against him, I'd call him all type of like, "No, you're not that good." And I'd do what Jalen Ramsey did. Like, no, I don't. It's all good. Like, you got to show me that you're the greatest.
I can't wait to tell. I'm sorry I forget. My head's swimming with all these football matters in Super Bowl week. I've been so excited to tell you about this, Maurice. My, you know, baby Oprah is now 10 years old. And she's playing basketball, and she's very good. I don't know where she got this athleticism. She's the shortest girl on the team, and she's very quick. Wait a second. I wonder, were you 10 years or so ago? No. Where were you?
No, I was in
short and quick. Okay.
I was
all
in
right.
Jacksonville.
Your story checks out, I guess.
I'm sure she's not 10.
I mean, she's got a nice olive complexion. All right, anyway. But
I'm just making sure.
However she got there, she's got it. And then, of course, Jean-Claude Van Damischek also playing 8-year-old basketball. Anywho, she really jumps out, Oprah, on the court. You really saw she steals the ball constantly. I mean, like, really, as soon as they come across the 10-second stripe, this little girl goes up and, boop, steals the ball. It's crazy to watch. It's right. It's delightful stuff. But she is just, again, I don't know where she gets this, but she is just this intrinsically delightful human being, just really a sunny personality in the middle of intense games, as much as 10-year-old girls' games can get intense. You look over at her when the whistle blows, she's dancing, she's having fun. After the game, the double overtime game, I was asking her about it, and she said, Daddy, when the referees aren't listening, I say to the girl on the other team, do you think you're going to make this shot? Because you're not. You're terrible. And I said, what? What? Who said that? And she said, I do that. And I said, wait, you talk trash. Yeah, you do not strike me as a trash talker. She said, yeah, but I say it so that the referees can't hear it. I said, that's how you do it. It's
smart.
Perfect.
Smart.
She goes up to these other girls and tells them that they're terrible at basketball. I thought you would be in heaven with that.
I am. I mean, that's how you do it. It's funny. One of my boys is real quiet. My oldest one, Deuce, real quiet. But he talks trash on the field. Like, he always says something. It's always something. But it's really not. It's like he ran a kid over in rugby on Saturday. And he picked the kid, like, helped him up after he scored. And it was like, oh, hey, try it better next time. You'll be fine. And I was like, son, you know, that's so nice of you. Like, where my youngest one, like, he is just wild, man. But he doesn't talk trash. Like, he plays physical. He tackles guys. And he's only, he's 6 playing with 8-year-olds. He's tackling kids, throwing them around. And then he gets up. He just walks away. Like, he doesn't, you know, he talks to his buddies. He high fives. But it's so funny. Like, kids are different. Like, I would never have thought that my oldest one would talk trash. He's never a trash. He's never been it. But something clicked in him where he feels like he has to, you know, that makes him feel better when he can put other people down, as you should.
All right. Well, I'd like to arrange in the off season some sort of maybe ongoing tutorial program where you could counsel her.
She does. She has the it already.
She's
as long
got
as
the
she
gift,
knows
right.
that, as long as you can say whatever you want, as long as the refs don't hear. And then this is the key. This is what I would teach Oprah next. I would say, baby Oprah, when the girl says something back to you, you have to fill up. Like, oh, my God, why would you say that? So then the ref would then get mad at the girl, right? And then you're good to go.
See? That's the sort of expertise that she needs to hone her rough skills.
I can give you a Bart Scott. We had our issues. We're better now. We had our issues when we played because I want to say in 2008, I had said something to Ray Lewis about being too old to play on the field with us. He should go, like, play with his kids. And so Bart took offense to that. And
why is Bart Scott getting offended?
I don't know. Like,
Ray
I feel
Lewis.
Like he felt like he was his bodyguard, so he wanted. I was like, well, you can get you some too. Like, it's no big deal to me, right? So we're going back and forth talking. And so he leaves and goes to New York. And I guess he thought that I forgot. I think he thought, like, you know what? that was in Baltimore. See, for me, it travels with you. It's like you can have kids in one marriage and you go to another. They're going to go with you. That's baggage. Just go with. So that's how I feel like my trash talking goes. So we're playing in New York, and he came on a blitz, and he tried to, like, run me over. And I was like, I just kind of, like, flipped him somehow, and I got on top of him. And so I'm, like, have my hands on him, and I'm pushing him down so he can't get up, and he's, like, grabbing on me. And so I just dropped my knee in his chest. And I was like, now don't move. Stay. Be a good dog. Right?
What a humiliation.
Oh, yeah, you make him feel bad. And then so he's fighting, trying to get up. And I feel someone touch my back, so I let him up. And it was my boys who were, like, trying to help me, like, dog him out. And I was like, and my boys were like, bro, why'd you let him up? I was like, I didn't know if it was there. I didn't want no one, like, to, like, choke me out from, you know. So after that, though, like, we were not friends ever then. Because then there's film of it.
I would guess not.
We had our equipment manager was Drew Hampton. And Drew Hampton's father was an equipment manager for the Jets, and he has four boys, and they were all equipment managers around the league. One was with the Browns, one was with the Jets, one was with the Jaguars. So whenever we played those teams, they call it the Hampton Cup, so you get to win this trophy, right? So after we beat them in New York, I come out and I hold the trophy high like it was my newborn, right in Bart's face. Like, and then, you know, after that, it was kind of – it got personal. Then that's when Rex took it.
That's when it got personal.
Yeah, so once I brought the trophy on the field, it got serious.
So, no – so that in the league, I have always wondered about that. So there's no – you have no concern talking trash at Ray Lewis?
No. Everybody gets it.
Everybody gets it.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the field competing.
One, Ray Lewis cuts a scary figure from the outside, but then
scary
in
who?
The league – to the world.
Yeah, see,
and then,
I told you I'm from the Bay Area. We're
I know, not, but then on the inside, what's interesting on the other side of it is with players who are from this era, from that era, they regard Ray Lewis, they hold him in the highest esteem.
Yeah, he was one of the greatest middle linebackers to play the game, but that doesn't mean me. Like, see, this is how I would always see it. I work out in the off season hard as I can, right? I put everything that I have into these workouts because I feel like the two guys that I was training with, they were the best at what they were doing. So when I got a chance to go against someone else, I got a chance to see how good I was. So if I'm going to go against Ray Lewis, who is arguably the greatest middle linebacker ever, well, then it's a chance for me to be like, hey, like, let me see how great I can be, right? Or if I was going against Bob Sanders, or if I was going against Brian Dawkins or Sean Taylor early in my career, I got a chance to prove that, you know, to myself mainly, not to anyone else, that I can go out there and dominate these dudes. And so trash talking was part of my game. Like, I remember playing my rookie year against Brian Dawkins and telling him, like, we have a safety from Clemson that's way better than you. And he didn't like that. I was like, great. He's a great – it is so funny because later on down the road, I want to say I was like
– such a random thing to offer.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you just got to find ways to get people out of their game, right? And so he came on the sidelines, and I kind of gave him a little move. And he grabbed me, but I broke it, and someone tackled me, and then I got up. I was like, whoa. I was like, my boy Fudge over here is way better safety from Clemson than you are. And then he kind of – we started barking a little bit, and then he started getting upset. And he started trying to, like really try to hurt me, hit me, you know. And I just started laughing because I knew I had him. But then it's so
seems
funny.
Like a heavy price to pay for trash talking, guy. Giant human beings trying to hit you harder than they already are.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's part of the game. But then this is funny, though. So then I leave Jacksonville, and during the free agents time, I started coaching high school 7-on-7. And I think this is the time where I think Brian just retired from Denver, and he had a team in Colorado. So we go to Vegas every year to play in this big pylon tournament. It's like 100 teams are out there. So his team matches up with my team. And, you know, I remember, like I told you, I remember everything. So I don't know if he remembers. So I just go in assuming that he remembered what was going on. So we're going score for score. And I started, like, trying to run up the score on him a little bit. And I think he caught on to it, right? And they end up winning at the end of the – they end up winning on a last-second drive. But it was funny because he's – after the game, he goes, you thought I forgot? I was like, no, I was like, really, to be honest, I figured you knew what I was trying to do because I'm going to compete at everything. Like, we could be spitting, and I'm going to try to spit farther than you. So I tried to run the score up on them. It didn't work. They end up winning, but it was fun.
Oh, I remember the slightest of slights. I would never forget that stuff.
Like my grandfather used to tell me, like, you can forgive people, just never forget.
That's right. It's a good lesson to the kids.
Maybe
people who are at peace in their heart and are very zen would say the other side of it. I can't control it. I remember it all.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't, it's not. It's like you're not being human. You're trying to be something different.
The song "Let It Go" and all that—I can't do it. I wish I could. If I were a choice, I would.
I'm not a big fan of Frozen after that song, to be honest with you, because I can't. I remember every
By
team.
By the way, with that, I'm glad that this came up. Frozen, we've been watching it in the house lately. What is the message of this Elsa? MVP. I assume
I like Frozen.
I'm not talking about the songs and everything. The quality of the songs, mm-hmm. whether you like them. What is the message with Elsa? What's the whole thing? So she's got this power.
She's different.
She's got a superpower, essentially.
Right.
And then it comes out. She doesn't know how to control it. It makes her little sister's hair white a little bit. And so her parents go and talk. This is the movie. Her parents, they don't know what to do, so they go and talk to a troll. They go and talk to a little goblin man who says, well, this is a great gift, but also it's dangerous. You better just keep her away from everybody. So they lock her in a room. She's a little girl. They lock her in a room, and they say, you're not allowed to see your daughter, your sister anymore. The little sister's confused. Why am I not allowed to talk to my older sister anymore?
And they won't talk to him about it.
And the sister, Elsa, doesn't answer. I feel a little bad for Elsa because
Elsa internalizes everything. You know, that's why she has to let it go.
What kind of parents are these who are lost at sea? I you know, RIP and everything. I hate to disparage the dead, but on the other hand, these are terrible parents. What kind of parents are these?
Parenting
is
hard.
Don't talk to your
children.
I can't imagine a situation where I would say, hey, just never tell the older daughter has a magic power. Well, we better not explain that to the younger kid.
It's a dangerous magic power. Like that ice, it's going to hurt people. I don't know why they couldn't let the little one in on it. That's
why didn't they send Elsa off to learn how to use her thing? Instead, no, just be locked in a room forever. Get to be a weirdo who doesn't know how to speak to other human beings.
People that live in the cold do crazy things. That's what I'm trying to figure out, why people want to live in the cold.
Maybe that's what it all comes back to. Maybe they were all affected by that ice they got in the brain. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't care for it. I got to think more about this Frozen because the message is
it's hard to decipher.
Very strange. Plus, they also involve a song. Also, in the plot, we meet this guy and they have this song about love, like for the first time in forever, and they have this love affair song, and then he turns out to be a villain.
No, not the moose guy, the bad guy. Like tricks Anna, the younger sister.
But you also trick me as the audience. Don't make a song.
Yeah, that's a nice little plot twist.
That always happens. That's real life though. You know, the guy that normally,
maybe that's a good message.
If you watch 10 Things I Hate About You,
that's the best part.
That's in that.
Okay.
I watched that this weekend.
A couple more things real quick I want to kibitz about. The Jaguars and the Titans are getting new uniforms. Maurice, you are the face, arguably, of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Perhaps, I'd say you're one of the 20 greatest Jaguars ever. 2025. MVP, do you agree with that?
He's a top five.
Oh.
Top five?
Top five.
What, the Jags?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fred Taylor.
Yeah, I always, you know, people
Mark
always.
Brunell.
Ah!
I'm not saying they're ahead of you. I'm just listing who would be in the conversation. Tony Boselli.
You know what? There's a guy that a lot of people don't talk about. He was in Boston. His name is Brad Meester. Played 16 years, all with the Jags. How about that?
That's great. He's not in the conversation.
Started, though. Every year with the Jags.
That's great.
I feel like guys like that should be, you know. Because I left. Fred left. Mark Brunell left. Tony Boselli left. Everybody leaves. We had great careers there, yes, but this guy played his whole career in Jacksonville.
I hail it. That's great. Jalen Ramsey, 10 years from now, is regarded as
he'll probably be the greatest Jaguar ever. And don't be surprised if Leonard Fournette depending on how long his career is, will go down as
well.
Well,
we've talked
too.
About that. The Jaguars
Yannick
running.
Ngakoue will be another one. Those linebackers, Telvin Smith and Miles Jack. I mean, they drafted a nice young core who has style, which I like.
What about my contention that based on what the Jaguars showed us, and for that matter, the Vikings, the Eagles, things swung back towards the defense, towards more traditional football. If you can pound the ball with Leonard Fournette, and if you can play dominant defense, Browns go and try to get Alex Smith or maybe Kirk Cousins and then use those high draft picks to build that defense?
I'm going to tell you exactly what the game of football has always been and will always be. It's a team game. And the more talent you have on the field, the better it is. Now, the issue when you have talent or you start to have success, if you look at the Rams, they've lost both. We just talked about it before the show. They lost both of their quarterback guys. They had, obviously, McVay. Then you had LaFleur, who leaves and goes to Tennessee now. Greg Olsen, who was a quarterback coach, leaves and goes to Oakland to be the OC. So when you have success, you either have to pay guys or you have to elevate them to where they can, you know, be happy, or they leave. And so for me is you have to try to acquire as much talent as possible on the team where if something does happen to your quarterback, a guy like Nick Foles can
hop in and go.
Because those guys go – you can't put – I remember vividly playing the Colts every year, and I used to – like, my boy's like, man, why can't y'all win a division? Peyton Manning is doing everything. Like, we would score 30 points, he scored 31, right? And our defense was really good at the time. As soon as Peyton Manning got hurt, guess how many games they won?
Well, that's
two.
Right. Aaron Rodgers. That's right.
Aaron Rodgers.
If the entire team is based around one guy and he's a human being, that means he is susceptible to injury, which means your whole season can go away. That's what I'm saying. The Browns, if they went 1-4 with defensive studs with Miles Garrett,
I don't know.
Then spend
I don't know
to get Alex Smith.
I don't know
or
if
really
there's
bring
defensive studs though in this draft. Like that. I think maybe you may go get the kid from Florida State at one of those. I think you go get Saquon Barkley at one of those, to be honest with you.
Bradley Chubb. Okay, yeah, maybe get that. That's fine.
I know a lot of people like Bradley Chubb, and that's. I think they spent enough on their defensive line already, right? I mean, they spent 2 picks 2 years ago on it. You went and got Miles Garrett. You got Jamie Collins. I mean, you got enough pieces defensively to get going. You got to start helping that offense out. You got to start putting some weapons around your quarterback.
You really like the idea of Barkley that high in a –
Oh, my God. He's the number one player in the draft. Why wouldn't you
– You agree with Jeremiah that he's going to be better than the guys that have come out in the last three,
It depends on where
years?
He goes. It's all – Ezekiel Elliott is really good because guess what? He went to Dallas. I think if he was in Cleveland, it'd be a little bit different. But Cleveland now, they're going to – hopefully Joe Thomas comes back. That have that offensive line kind of comes together again because they have a really good offensive line. If it comes together, I think you put Barkley in there. Now you have an explosive player. And then you can go and get a Luke Falk, or maybe you can use one of those second-round picks to jump back up into the first round and go get another quarterback. I mean, it just depends on what – or you can go quarterback one for Barkley, whatever you want to do. Because I feel like the first two picks again this year are going to be quarterbacks. That's what I feel like.
All right. We haven't really talked about the Eagles and Patriots here, but that's fine. I really don't mind that because, like I say, that's what everyone and their mother is doing this week. So we zig when everyone else is zagging out there. By the way, speaking of trash talk, I told Timmy Jernigan at media night, I played a fun game with him, and I said, how do you respond to Tom Brady saying that if the Eagles were in the AFC, that you guys would have finished in last place?
I bet you his face was just
He got confused, bemused, and angry for about 3 seconds. And I was like, okay, well, he didn't say that. But what if he did say it? He was like, Tom's lucky he didn't say that. That's what he said.
That's real quick about that game. And the one thing that the Jags didn't do well, interior pressure.
Yeah, right.
Calais Campbell, we were expecting him to dominate. He played well. But He got hurt, yeah. So he didn't really dominate like we expected, and then Marcel Darius had a couple plays. Malik Jackson didn't really play the way that's the issue, but that's the pressure you get from the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They get interior pressure over and over and over again, and that's Chris Long does a great job coming on the edge. So does Brandon Graham
but Fletcher Cox is the destroyer.
Fletcher
I think
Cox
he gets
and Timmy Jernigan. They go crazy. And then let's not forget, they have their first-round pick who they booed. The Eagles booed at the draft, and I was like, hold on. You shouldn't boo him. This kid is good.
Who did they want? I don't remember what they were.
I don't know who they wanted. I think they wanted somebody. I don't know.
But yeah. We talked to him. He's the delightful. We talked to him on draft.
Barnett. He was they said, arguably the greatest pass rusher in that draft. And so he's come in and made some timely sacks as well. So that defense has done a great job. I mean, the key is if Gronk is going to play, right, because he still hasn't cleared.
He's going to play.
He still hasn't cleared concussion protocol.
That also is a good excuse to keep him out of media night, to say that he's still not cleared. I suspect that by Wednesday it will magically be announced that he has now cleared. He's been practicing full for a couple of days. But Chris Long also, I said, will you feel bad if you sack Tom Brady? Will you apologize for doing that to him?
He said, greatness.
Yeah, he said no. He said no.
He shouldn't.
I
tell people this all the time. I said, how crazy would it be to have LeGarrette Blount and Chris Long? You know everything about the Patriots right now. Everything. Right? I mean, LeGarrette Blount's been there since, six years? You have Chris Long, who went there last year, knows how to, you know – like, the Eagles have the upper hand.
So are you? So all right, let's leave it there. Are you gonna pick them?
No.
Yeah.
As much as I, you know, to be honest, I'm not gonna pick them because the Philly fans have been so rude to me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. They've just been rude.
Hmm.
And it's because of them that I'm gonna pick the Patriots. I'm sorry. Like I'm petty.
See what you've done, Eagles fans?
Yeah. And I was
so, you know, Eagles fans are rougher than Patriots fans on social media. Patriots fans are they're the world champs of.
I was in Boston
being salty.
I never really picked against them. I mean, I picked the Titans against them because everyone picked the Patriots. So I was like, guys, like, we can't just clean sweep them, because then that's when the Titans normally win. And I wanted the Jags to beat the Patriots, so. It didn't happen, but they were cool in Foxborough. Like, they're like, hey, man, good job. Like, you know, we got Deion Lewis because he was similar to what you were doing. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, that was cool. But the Eagles fans are just downright nasty.
Wait,
because
who they said got that? Mad the at organization me. Said that to you or the fans?
But yeah, both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was nice. Huh, it was a great.
Look
you know,
at that, Marie.
But I told him, I said that's awesome, but I got to go with the Jags.
You're pigskin celebrity. I've seen it many times over. The esteem that your peers and the football community is remarkable. Maurice, people will run over to him. They'll stop what they're doing. On the field at Super Bowls pass, people run off the field. Devontae Freeman, like, hey, oh, hey, it's Maurice. Hey, MJD, come over to Husker.
Those are my
Tevin
guys,
Coleman,
man.
Like, what are you doing? The Super Bowl's about to start. You should not be glad-handing with Maurice over here.
You know,
talk to him after the game, crazy guys.
I felt like I gave him a little juice there in the first half, and then I should have talked to him after at halftime so they could have kept the juice going.
Last thing is this. Are you available in the offseason? We need to go with this new uniform business. I mean, we can't afford
the
another
Jags,
mistake.
But the here. Jags, somebody showed me I got to find it on Instagram.
You know the cons. Let's get in touch with Tony.
I mean, I'm cool with them. You know, I try to give them their space.
I get it, but let's make sure that they get it right this time.
Here, let me see. Someone showed me. They look pretty fresh.
Oh, you've already seen them.
There's a guy on Twitter, Jags Center. He has all their stuff.
All
Let me
right.
see if I,
I don't
can
know.
Find.
I'd like to. I don't know if we have to go to Nike or if we have to go to the Jags or what we have to do. But I want to oversee this process. It's enough already. Too many mistakes being made in the last decade with the Buccaneers and the Browns.
The Buccaneers should have just kept the creamsicles. Those are the best uniforms. I mean, you know, sometimes I feel like sometimes you can't let the people persuade you. Right, because they were so bad in the creamsicles. People were like, oh, it's the – no, it wasn't. It wasn't the uniform that was bad. It was the people playing. The people that was wearing it were bad. That's what happens. that's how it works. And I think the Jags winning and what they did, I'd like them to keep it. I like the helmets.
No. We dodged a bullet as a nation not having that hideous two-tone
what?
Helmet in the Super Bowl.
You're crazy,
I
Shaq.
Wouldn't want that.
Shaq,
I would live
you don't
forever.
Want that. You don't want that because of what they did to that Steeler Nation
that's
helmet.
That's silly. Now you're trying they to talk not, stuff.
That's
you,
know,
you trying
Emma,
to talk
Emma,
trash, and it means
were,
nothing to me.
It's because it's happened again. History repeated itself.
Go
and
eat
that
go
Jags
some
helmet,
ravioli at the top of
no,
Waikiki.
I'll never go. I'm never going back to that
that's
place
That's
going
to be my new thing to Maurice from now on when I'm angry with him. Go eat some ravioli in Waikiki for
Can't
all I care.
I refuse to do it. I'd rather eat Popeye's. and I'm going vegan again. So
good for you.
I had to because I was traveling. Like people don't understand how hard it is to like you literally eat lettuce if that's it, just lettuce with nothing on it. You know. And I was in the South. Remember, I was in Jacksonville. Yeah. Then, like, it's not a lot of vegan
fried
places in the South. So that was pretty tough. But it was. I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed the whole vegan process. I did it for 4 months. It was nice and lost a lot of weight. Now I'm gonna go back and do it after the Super Bowl. Get some time off and get ready to work. But you know, last thing I have to say.
All right.
And I've kept this deep down inside for the last couple weeks.
Uh-oh.
I haven't said much, and I don't want to get in trouble, but, you know, Patriots fans turn on each other.
Oh, yeah.
How
so? What do you mean?
Oh, in the stadium when the Jags jumped up on them, it was 14-3, and they were about to go up 20-21-3 before they called that phantom delay a game that they let the whole play run, and then they stopped. Then they were like, oh, flag, delay a game, which is crazy.
Yeah, that is – I will say I'm with you. I'm not
ironic.
Trying to be a conspiracy theorist.
It was ironic.
But that was weird. You don't usually see if it's a delay of game, they would whistle it down.
Yeah, they whistle it down. But I was in the DraftKings bar in the stadium because that's where I like to go. Like that's I feel
all
like
right.
You watch the game. Like I can watch it in the stands, and that's cool, but I wanted to be amongst the people.
You're a human being.
I wanted to be amongst the people. So I'm sitting in the corner, you know, and I'm watching the game, and all I hear is, this is ridiculous. And just then these two Patriots fans start yelling at each other. And they start pushing each other, about to fight.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there like, this is unruly. This is not what the world champion Patriots are all about.
No. Spoiled.
Oh.
Well, you know what, though? I say that all the time, and we saw it again.
It happened in Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah.
It happens in Pittsburgh,
home
too.
Home field advantage becomes disadvantageous if the
if
road
you don't
team
start fast.
Takes the lead. That's
if you don't
exactly
start
right.
fast. In Pittsburgh, it got
Do
a little
you think,
crazy,
you
too.
You know what? I should ask somebody who was on the scene here. I hate the – you know, I don't live in my fears, and I don't live life in the rearview mirror.
Yes, you shouldn't.
However, the one thing people haven't really talked about, because in years past it was a big story for some postseasons, do you think the Steelers made a mistake sitting – Roethlisberger and company in week 17.
No.
You don't think they didn't,
they
came out
they
flat?
They were going to sit anyways.
I know.
They had
so
the
was
bye
an extra week.
Week.
I know.
Yeah, but
so
I
that
mean,
was
you
enough.
Wanted...
They could have rested for 2 weeks enough. Why'd they need 3 weeks? Listen.
They rested for 2 weeks. You rested right. week 17. They actually practiced all week. They just didn't play in the game. And then the wild card week and they rested. That had nothing to do with
That's
what happened. Weeks. It was just
all right.
a matchup.
Well, they came out a little flat. That first pass that Jack picked off, great play, but also a terrible ball from seven. That was
it's the Jaguars matchup. They always will. You can ask anyone in the Pittsburgh organization.
I get
Jacksonville
it.
Is built.
You act like I not. By the way, a lot of people are giving me this business. Like, oh, they shocked you. No, they didn't shock me.
We talked about it before. You said like
surprise.
They beat
they
you
won.
By three touchdowns, and the guy didn't throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, just, all right. But I do think that was interesting, that maybe if they – I don't know, seven wasn't exactly hit not all
cylinders.
He threw
five touchdowns.
As he warmed up, yeah. I loved his lateral drive.
All that stuff, and it didn't matter.
I know, it's sad. All right, what isn't sad is getting to talk with Maurice Jones-Drew. The only sorrow I have is that I'm going to bring it to an end now, and I'm going to go and talk to number 11.
Tell
Currently,
him I said hello.
You know what?
Please.
I'm going to talk to him about houses, and I'm going to talk to him about the Jacksonville Jaguars. In
talk to him about De La Salle. He went to Helix High School. If you say Helix High School, he's going to look at you like you're sideways.
All right. I'm going to bring up Helix to him.
Yeah, Helix.
And I'm going to bring up 16-0 in 2018, according to
Jags.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
With the Jags.
I bet he'll like the sound of that. He'll be like, well, I should do that.
Just tell him I need like 3%.
Okay.
That's all.
Done and done. Thanks, Maurice. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you and the good people of at least one, perhaps both of the Twin Cities as the week unfolds.
Yeah, I'm actually going to St. Paul to get my haircut today.
Why?
Because that's where the barber that Stefan Diggs, I'm dropping names now.
Oh.
I had to call the mayor of the city. Like, yo, where can I get my haircut? He goes, oh, no, I got a guy for you in St. Paul. So that's where we'll be later on tonight. Going to get a haircut.
By the way, all right, one more thing. Do you think, since you brought up Diggs, this is my question this week, just emotionally for fans, for Stefan Diggs, for the Vikings at large. Do you think that they would have been better off to just not have done that the Magic play, because then it extends the season. They go to Philadelphia. Now you're starting to think, if you're a fan or a player, 60 minutes away from a home game in the Super Bowl.
That had nothing to do with that.
I'm not saying they were distracted. Do you think if
were distracted?
I know what they were
distracted by?
What?
This is what I heard. I don't know if it was true or not, but every question that week leading up to Philly was about that one play at the end of the game. So they could never get past it. And then you go into Philly, you haven't gotten past that one play.
But I just mean broader than that. If they lose, all right, the Saints came in there and they beat them and that was that. And season over is a good thing and we'll, be better going forward kind of thing. If you don't have – now the heartache will live with you forever. We missed them. Oh, we would have just won that game.
If it was a close game, I think that was the heartache. They got blown out. In the words of Emmitt Smith, they got blowed out, and it wasn't close. So I just feel like they had a really good season. They overcame a lot, right, with all the different injuries, Case Keenum playing lights out, all those different things.
Yeah, but now they have to walk around the streets and see the Eagles fans, and how sick that would make you. Know the Eagles are in your locker room.
No, they got a different locker room.
Oh, they're in a different locker.
They got different locker
rooms. I told some Patriots guys at media night that they should leave notes in the locker for the Vikings, so when they come in September, it's like, hey, Brian Hoyer here. Welcome back to football season. You know, hope you're well. Your pal, Brian. That kind of thing. Wouldn't that be nice?
No. Don't leave anything in my locker.
All right. I'm going to leave some raviolis. All right. There he is. Maurice Jones-Drew, everybody. Now to Alex Smith.
Dave Damashek.
And just like that, with a magic snap of the fingers, we go from our conference room to the Mall of America. Alex Smith is on his way. Real quick, though, let me tell you that today's show comes to you from an innovative shampoo, Control GX. It's the first gray-reducing shampoo from Just for Men. As you know, Just for Men helps men look their best so you can celebrate who you are and you can achieve what you need to achieve with a nice mane of ungray hair. That's the ticket there. And speaking of that, Damashek needs to apply some ASAP. I might go around Mall of America and land some of that as soon as we're finished with Alex Smith here. Get 25% off Control GX using the code Dave at controlgx.com. That's Dave, D-A-V-E, if you're a bad speller or don't know anything. To get 25% off Control GX at controlgx.com. Shampoo in, rinse out, move on. It's that easy. Go get it. controlgx.com.
Dave, da 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 don don, Dave.
Well, as promised, here he is, everybody. Number 11 in red. Always in red.
I've got a lot of red.
I've mentioned that to you before, as a matter of fact, from Utah to the 49ers to the and then we watch in the Pro Bowl, red jersey. Red. We got to figure this out for 2018. It's Alex Smith, everybody. What's happening?
What's going on?
Well, there's a Super Bowl upcoming.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's the Eagles and it's the Patriots.
Gotcha.
Now, way back when, we'll dig in on that in a little bit. But it does feel like about 17 and a half years ago that the Chiefs went into Foxborough and shocked the world.
Yes.
Now, where that started, a couple of days before that game was played, one Maurice Jones-Drew shocked the world and said, you know what's going to happen? The Chiefs are going to go into Foxborough.
Did he call it?
He did.
Did he call it?
He
did.
He's the only human being.
The only one. They were going undefeated at that point.
That's
still,
right.
Right? I mean, everybody was.
You guys, in the locker room, you guys were like, oh, I mean, realistically, we're not going to win this game, right?
It was a big opener. I certainly, be up on the road, the defending Super Bowl champs, all the hype they had. It was a big test. Big test for us.
Yeah, the road team in that kickoff game almost never wins.
Yeah.
You really,
I didn't know that, really.
History.
All right.
Almost
good
never.
To know.
Yeah. But speaking of Maurice Jones-Drew, he had a couple of things he wanted me to talk to you about. First of all, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a chance you could move around pro football between now
really?
And the start of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going to be.
I don't know.
But let's talk about that. I asked Maurice, what if Alex Smith put on the that gross turquoise jersey of or teal or whatever you call it, of the Jaguars? Do you know what he said?
What he said?
16-0, and he means it. What do you think of that?
It's a bold statement. bold prediction. Sure, sure, whatever.
You're in for that? It's a lot of pressure. You got to go 16-0 to do it?
Oh, am I co-signing his prediction? I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to go that far.
Well, Maurice also, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows where you're concerned.
Okay.
He was quite cross that you apparently once suggested that Helix High could defeat De La Salle.
I very much wanted that opportunity in high school. Very much. All these De La Salle guys, they think, you know, they walk on water, you know. They had the streak going back when I was in high school, whatever it was, 100 and something games. We weren't too bad either. We had this little running back named Reggie Bush that was pretty good. So, yeah, but that was we would have loved that opportunity to play De La Salle, but never got it.
I can't imagine. You guys must have just wrecked. I'm always fascinated by how high-end pro football players must have just – did you win every game 382-0?
We won a lot, and we won by a lot, yeah. I didn't play a lot of second halves. A lot of just standing around. A lot of handing off. I was really good at handing off in high school. We were pretty good. We would have loved to have had that chance to play those guys, but you'll never know.
Do you consider yourself sort of the godfather of what happened, as a matter of fact, with Kaepernick and the infusion of whatever you want to call it, spread option, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Do you kind of feel like maybe history – I mean, I think some people give you credit for it, but I don't feel like people – are as tuned in as they should be. I mean, I remember I'm a Pitt football fan.
Okay,
I remember
when you
shamed us in the bowl game, and that really was like, hey, maybe the Big Five isn't everything in college football.
Yeah, and then I mean, the crazy thing too is just that when I first got drafted, right, coming from that world, the spread option and then shotgun and all over the place and doing all the run pass stuff. When I first got into the NFL, though, it was still this huge stigma, right? Like, oh, he's just this spread guy. We don't know if he can learn a pro offense or play in a pro system. That stuff could never work at the pro level. And now, you know, to see it kind of transition in the NFL and it slowly started to creep in. And now teams kind of living in that world, right? I mean, and certainly we did a lot of that in Kansas City. So and loving it, right? Especially a lot of these quarterbacks that have different strengths and can do a lot of different things. Why wouldn't you do all this stuff with them? So it's been fun to watch that creep in as well. Not only just have the success it has at the college ranks, but to see it come into the NFL has been fun. And to be a part of it, even more fun because I really enjoy doing all that stuff.
It really, as a fan, I find stylistic differences in offenses. You know, it was 15, 20 years ago, the pleasure of college football triple option here. Now it's all spread in college, and it's the NFL that has more diversity, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's been fun to watch. I think these coaches tailor a lot of these offenses to guys' strength, right? What does your quarterback do well? What are the pieces around him? What are the things they do well? So, yeah, you get a lot of diversity across the league because there's guys with unique strengths. And so certainly for us, when you got guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Kareem, and it's fun to do a lot of crazy stuff with them.
Do you feel like 2017, I've been saying for about 3 weeks now, all of a sudden I've had an epiphany after 15 years in the 21st century of you must have a quarterback who has the vowel that starts with an E in front of quarterback, you know, the elite is what for there. But all of a sudden I feel like, you know, Eagles, Vikings, Jags, and so on. If you can dominate defensively, that maybe you don't need a quarter. I feel I've been duped now, telling everybody you got to have Brady or you got to have Roethlisberger to win the big game. But all of a sudden now, maybe I feel like maybe the Browns should just use those first two picks on defensive players and go from there and go get Alex Smith to lead the way.
To be honest, I don't think there's I don't think you can have either. Right. I mean, I think these teams where, they have an elite quarterback. Their rosters, though, top to bottom, are really good. Right. They're really good on all three phases, offense, defense, special team. Nobody's playing this late in the year if they don't have a really good 53-man roster. Right. You can't have one guy. You can't have one receiver. You need four or five receivers. Right. They all have to be capable. You can't just have a couple O-linemen. You got to have a bunch. Right. Because injuries happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Eagles. I mean, to lose Jason Peters and to have the depth they have, that kid step in at left tackle and just play the way
it
he
is
does.
One of the most undercovered stories
of the year. It's crazy, right? And then a lot of times you may need a capable backup. And to have Wentz have the year he did, and then, you know, to have Nick step in and play the way he has, right? You just look at these rosters top to bottom, I think, that play this late in the year, and you better be – you better have depth, right? You better be good all the way through. I don't think you can just rely on a couple guys. Certainly, I don't think any quarterback's good by himself, right? He's got to have pieces around him. So,
the trajectory of Nick Foles has sort of been, I mean, different guys have different careers.
Yeah.
I think the assumption is in the 21st century, if we are using a high first-round pick on a quarterback, you better hit the ground running figuratively more than literally. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, but that's the story about you is that you really soared a little later.
Yeah, yeah.
And does a guy like Case Keenum or maybe even Jared Goff after a sluggish first, do those guys reach out to you and do you provide counsel to those guys who aren't overnight smash successes?
I mean, you have different relationships with different guys. Certainly, for whatever reason, yeah, Jared and I have been linked up from the start. So certainly a guy that, yeah, here and there I talk to, whether it be on the phone or see him in person. And certainly, yeah, if there's some similarities in our rookie seasons, yeah, you just try to talk to him. Certainly I was pumped to see his opportunity this year and how well he did. But, yeah, I think guys talk. And when we do meet up, it's a small world, the quarterback world. So certainly, yeah, you do kind of share your stories, root for guys, at least when you're not playing each other. Yeah.
Well, listen, it's Super Bowl week. I'm obligated to talk about it. Like I say, 17 and a half years ago, you went into Foxborough and vanquished them. What, if any, what specifically, I mean, it seemed like you attacked them downfield and banged them on the ground. Do you feel like that's something that Peterson and company can kind of look at and glean something from 4 months later?
I think so. Yeah, a little bit. I'm sure they'll look at that tape. Obviously, it was a long time ago. You know, and teams change over the course of the season. Excuse me. Yeah, I think a lot of similarities. As I watch the Eagles offense, there certainly are things that, you know, a lot of similarities to what we did this year. So I think both sides will look at that. But at this point, they're all good, right? I mean, these teams are both really, really good. Going to come down to small details. But then you have 2 weeks to prepare, right? So do you have time to switch things up? Are you going to do something crazy, change things? So who knows?
You have been in the MVP conversation for the majority of 2017.
Okay.
You were the runaway.
Yeah.
You were going to definitely get it.
Yeah.
And then was a little swoon, and then you rose back up towards it. Who is your vote? And listen, don't feel like you have to be modest here. If you want to say Alex Smith is the 2017 MVP,
it's not my style.
You can do it.
Not my style. Yeah, I mean, tough vote. I mean, you know, Wentz was having such a big year, you know, and we got to watch a lot of their tape. There were a lot of carryover there. And so, man, he was impressive to watch for a second-year guy, the stuff he was doing, plays he was making. Not just with his arm, but feet as well. He was fun to watch. Certainly, I think, deserved to be in the conversation. I hate saying it. Not that I don't like him, but he's just in it every year. But Tom, you know, certainly deserves to be there. Just the year he consistently has, this year being there, too. I think, and they carried a lot of the load offensively, gotten a lot of shootouts, mm-hmm. and won a lot of games that way. And, you know, to see him just week in, week out, play the way he does, is unique. You know, he's been doing it a long time, so he certainly deserves to be in it as well.
Well, since you were wondering, my vote goes to Antonio Brown.
All right, yeah, I like it.
I mean,
I like
because it wasn't
he's
just
special.
The prolific numbers.
Yeah.
It was like you saw an Arrowhead. Just it was the moments at which he was making those big plays. Right at that, you guys were in the midst of a furious rally, and
for sure.
And he overcame. You just don't see receivers get it very often. But you know, I contend that the Heisman Trophy, even if you don't like college football, you know what the Heisman looks like because of the iconic trophy.
Yes.
Stanley Cup. You don't have to like hockey. But the MVP trophy of our most beloved sport, no one could tell you what it looks like or who's won it. Because
I could not tell you what it looks like.
That's right. Let's fix that. Who should it be named after and what would the pose be?
Oh, you want to name it after
Let's
somebody.
Let's name it. You've seen the Sweetness Award, the Man of the Year Award in that cape. That's
awesome.
an awesome thing.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, certainly you got to go to some of the greatest players of all time, right? And, I mean, you'd have to get a lot of guys in that same room, but Jim Brown, Jerry Rice, I don't know, Joe Montana.
Whoa.
I mean, who are you going to start?
Maybe like three of them, like all right. Yeah, that could be something. I like that.
I didn't notice I didn't name any defensive guys.
No, you didn't. Know. No. So. And again, still with the modesty. You didn't name yourself on the trophy. Yeah. That'd be nice. What's your favorite store in the mall?
I've never been here.
The mall. Any mall. You know,
any mall.
Malls all have the same thing.
Do they? Orange Julius?
Yeah, that's nice.
Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, I mean, and you just go straight orange juice? Or do you have like a little strawberry mixed in?
That's
nice. Some protein powder, perhaps?
Not a big mall guy.
No, you don't go mall. All right. You know what I know you do? Can I tell you one more thing that Maurice told me?
What's that?
He said that you fancy having houses. He said to name all your houses. You have a lot of houses?
I don't.
You what?
I don't.
He said you. He has houses all over the place. He'll tell you all about them.
I don't. No.
That was just all made up stuff.
Probably.
That's embarrassing. All right, let's move on then. Tell us about what's going on with FedEx.
Yeah, along with the guys I just named, I'm a finalist for the FedEx Air Player of the Year with Carson Wentz and Tom Brady as well. So FedEx is going to, I think the winner is going to announce later this week, and FedEx is going to write a check for $50,000 in the winner's name to the USO. And they've been partnering with the USO, and they send care packages, and this time of year they send football care packages to all the servicemen and women all over the world to kind of keep them connected to home this time of year, connected to football. And so cool to be a part of, humbled to be a finalist, but obviously all very grateful for the country we live in and the freedoms that we have, and thankful for our servicemen and women. So pumped to be connected with it. Fans can actually go vote out there. I think it's NFL.com/FedEx. So I would love to have that check be from me. So.
See, there you go. There you go, Tiger. See, come on. Yeah, there you go. You deserve it. No, that is a great cause. No better cause than that, of course. Well, enjoy the game. Are you going to be in the stadium?
I'm not going to be in the stadium, no.
No, you're going
to I'll be at home.
All right. And do you have a rooting
better
interest?
Yeah, the Eagles. You kidding? Doug Peterson, Nick Foles. Yeah. Well, I would love a good game, first of all, though. I think we're all rooting for that, but definitely pulling for those guys.
You know what? This game will be fun, but I suspect – this year's quarterback market, this offseason, is going to be the most fascinating one yet, with you figuring prominently into that. A lot of interesting spots.
Yeah.
I think 10 – by the way, there's a giant shark right behind you. You want to see that? Take a look at that.
That's
see?
Great. That's great.
See? That's what I see. Now you're going to be a mall guy. Yeah. Now you realize what you've been missing all these years, not hanging around malls. I think that – As many as 10 or 11 teams can change their starting quarterback from 2017 to 2018. I think it's
going
to be.
That's what you're going with.
I'm going 10. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. But best wishes to you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. KC and beyond. And thanks for the great work you're doing.
Thanks,
and,
Dave.
A pleasure.
It, man.
And
thank
sorry
you.
About that whole house thing.
Yeah.
You know? But you know what? Maybe get a few. Yeah. That'd be nice. Get one in.
I'm working on it.
Okay. There he is, everybody. Number 11, Alex Smith.
How? That's Dave Damashek.
All right, that's it. Back in the hotel room just to say farewell, and we'll be back in a couple of days. What's happening Super Bowl week here, MVP? Who do we have later in the week?
So on Thursday, we'll do a pod with Money, Cynthia, Hope, and Willie McGinnis. And we're interviewing Travis Kelce on Friday. So it's just a Chiefs experience here for the DDFP.
A banner show, to be sure. But I know already this was a good one, thanks to Maurice and Alex Smith. All right, we'll talk to you later in the week from one of the two Twin Cities. Until then.